This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, so Derrick Henry is just going after everybody right now. And how much credit do you give to him? How much credit do you give to his offensive line? And would you trade him immediately for Zeke? And Kevin,
yes,
it was a few weeks ago we were discussing Derrick Henry. We were discussing running backs and who you would put ahead of Ezekiel Elliott. And somebody threw Derrick Henry's name out there, and I was like, what are you talking about? And it's because I wasn't paying attention to what Derrick Henry was doing this season. But Derrick Henry has been phenomenal this year, and now over 180 yards in three straight games.
Nobody has ever done that.
That's surprising. That is shocking to me. Because doesn't it feel like we've had Zeke go over 180 yards in three straight games, like 200 yards in multiple games?
Nope.
But maybe it's just two straight games, but three straight games now. And to add on top of that, Kevin, touchdowns in those games. You know, so, and then he threw for a touchdown as well.
He did. He can do it all.
Derrick Henry this year, 1,540 yards, 5.1 yards a carry, and 16 touchdowns. That's a good, that's a quality season right there from your running back. And this is a running back, Kevin, that during that draft, I was all about it. I was like, yeah, let's get Derrick Henry. I'm perfectly fine with that. And I know a lot of people have been bringing up the names like Jalen Ramsey and all that, but I do believe a lot of people wanted Miles Jack at the time.
Yeah.
Like that was the hot name was Miles Jack. Miles Jack, we talked about him like until our tongues fell out. But then Derrick Henry was always, for me, an option at running back because I wanted to get better at both of those spots. Now you look back at it and you say, man, you could have had Jalen Ramsey and Derrick Henry in the same draft. The Cowboys had opportunities and said they got Zeke and Jalen Smith. And I wonder how many people at this point would trade that immediately, most of them. But there's no way that nobody wants Derrick Henry right now, right?
Yeah, and Derrick Henry has been getting progressively better. Now, I know one of the arguments obviously can be made that this was a contract year for him. Well done. But first year, 490 yards. Second year, 744. But then last year, he took a step up in yardage, average per carry, and touchdowns at 1,059, 4.9, and 12 yards. Then this year, he took another step up, 1,540 yards, 5.1 yards per carry, and 16 touchdowns. So he has progressively gotten better. And so it's just really interesting how much the playoffs crystallize things for you, because I bet a lot of casual people, they'd be like, who the hell is Derrick Henry? And now I feel like if you've caught any part of this playoffs, is there any question that he's been like the standout player of the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely he has. Here's one of the things that I think that he doesn't, one of the reasons that people maybe wouldn't want Derrick Henry, Kevin, all right? He is a running back. And this game has been, is changing, right? Like everybody contends that the game is changing. And that at this point, running backs that are running backs are not needed. Running backs that are running backs are outdated because running backs that can receive are the ones that are the most important. How many targets do you think Derrick Henry had this year?
40.
24.
Oh.
So, like, when you're talking about statistics, and he only caught, like, 17 of them. So, 18. When you're talking about that part of the game, you just take that away. Now, do they use Deion Lewis in those things? All right, so that's an option there. But Derrick Henry is not a receiving running back. He is a running back. And at the time of the draft, everybody was like, man, he needs a runway. He's going to need a runway to take off. He's not the kind of guy that's going to make a bunch of cuts. But right now, when we were looking at him, I was like, yeah, but he's a man. He'll just run over you. He's going to be hard to tackle. Earl Thomas even said leading into it, hey, it looked like the other guys weren't really excited about trying to tackle Derrick Henry. We're going to have a different mindset. And then Earl Thomas got thrown to the ground by Derrick Henry in that game. So I think that's the when you look at it, you have to decide, are you that team or are you a different team than that if you're going to have a Derrick Henry on your team? Because you have to be committed to running the football like that.
Now some people have started to push back from the 972. You should go look at that offensive line before you decide to get Henry. They are good.
Yeah.
And from the 214, Zeke had 13 and some change with no blocking. I mean, it's kind of disingenuous to argue that he had no blocking when you have, what, three Pro Bowlers out of the five offensive linemen? Or two of them made it, and then one of them is perpetual Pro Bowler? I don't know if I would say no blocking.
I wish I had the numbers, the stats on yards that came back for holding and stuff this year for Zeke. Because, they could be Pro Bowlers and everything. That's fine, but... How many times did throughout a game one of the offensive linemen screw something up? And they even said it. Look, man, it was one of us all day. Somebody did something, and they did a great job of blocking for Dak this year too, with the least amount of sacks. But I do wonder if Zeke could have had even more yards on things that didn't get called back.
That's fair, but I also always wonder when that happens, like, was the only reason you broke that run
because of the hold?
Yeah. So I know it's kind of tough to figure that out.
But then what does that do, Kevin? Now you've had that hold. It pushes you back 10 yards. Now you're at first and 20, and you're probably likely throwing the ball on that down. And now you don't get the first down, and the drive doesn't continue, and so the running back doesn't get the yards or slash touchdowns that maybe he would have had the opportunity for.
Now, the other thing that goes along with this, and we've talked about this a lot, how the narrative will change once you get paid, and I think a lot of people soured on Zeke the second he got all of the monies, because he got the six-year, $90 million deal. So you're talking about an average of 15 per. This past year, Derrick Henry made $1.2 million. So I think, like, as soon wherever he ends up going.
Is he playing for this contract season?
Because this is okay. The last year of his rookie deal. And so, like, whenever he signs, wherever he is, whether it's back with the Titans or wherever else, now you're going to be judged by a whole different thing. Because it's a really neat story when you're a giant running back who can truck everyone who's making no money because you got taken in the second round out of Alabama for some reason. But it's a whole different story, like Le'Veon Bell style, when now you're making $13 million per year or whatever it is, and it's like, guarantee you'll see a headline next year. Why is Derrick Henry struggling? Because the metric, like, you don't feel that way necessarily as much when you're making $1.2 million. You're like, what a neat story. But when it's $13 million, why can't he do the thing that he did before for no money?
Yeah, no, and Zeke getting paid, I think that was natural progression. Did you have a replacement running back for him? I know people will say, well, what about Tony Pollard? Nobody thought Tony Pollard was coming in here to be the starter.
Yeah.
Nobody thought they drafted him. They thought they drafted him as a complimentary player that maybe one day they could turn into the guy. Everybody knew that Zeke was the guy, and not a single person 2 years ago was upset about Ezekiel Elliott on this team. Now, sometimes you're like, whoa, hold on, what happened? How did they take him out of a game? And they should never be able to take him out of a game. That shouldn't happen.
From the 214, Zeke's the better running back, but overwhelmingly, it seems like the Cowboys faithful, they would absolutely make that deal, and they would go ahead and make the swap. Now, they're going to be, as we all predicted, the Tennessee Titans are going to be in the AFC Championship game. Corey, you are the Drake of this station. Where do you cast your allegiance in this game so I can know who will actually be in the Super Bowl?
Allegiance or my rooting interest, not who I think is going to win?
Yeah, but yours is different. Yours is not based on rooting interest as much as prediction, mm-hmm. And then you're the Drake from that perspective. Like, I think Drake falls in love a lot, and so he fell in love with the Ravens, so of course they lost. And really, outside of Derrick Henry, let's point out Drake is the real reason that they lost. So who do you predict to win this game so I'll know who will lose?
I'm rooting for the Chiefs in this one.
Okay, so congratulations, Roy. Your team's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I really think that's going to be the case, man, because I think the Chiefs
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, anytime, Roy. I think the Chiefs have this really – I love their style of play. I love the fact they scored 51 points in this football game.
Sure.
Because I think they proved to themselves, hey, no matter what, we can overcome whatever adversity gets in our way. No matter what the situation is, we're going to go over the top and we're going to be able to beat people because we know we can do it. It's a matter of we started off a little slow in that game. The Texans decided that they were going to try and come in and start hot. And all week, O'Brien was telling everybody, "Hey, we can't win this game. We can't win this game at all. There's no way." Bill O'Brien was just saying it over and over. There's no way we can win. They hop up 24-0. He's like, "Ha ha! That reverse psychology against my guys." But then was it at halftime? No, this was a Broncos game in December. This is the mentality, Kevin, of the Houston Texans head coach. Go to cut 15 here, Shippy. Have you heard this audio yet?
I don't know.
After a Broncos game in December, this is Bill O'Brien walking through the tunnel.
You suck too! You suck too, you suck too! You!
All right, so here's what I took from that, because I know the audio is kind of rough. Somebody yelled out, "You suck," and he responded, "You suck too, buddy." And then he said, you can figure out there's a reason that we bleeped it. And then finally, somebody who had their wits about them ran in there and said, "Hey, coach, with the ensuing
players.
Okay, with the ensuing conversation being, "Hey, Nimrod, don't get in an argument with a fan when you know everybody is going to be videoing." It reminds me a couple of weeks ago when somebody yelled down at Baker Mayfield when they were getting squashed by the Bengals. "Hey, you're getting crushed by a 1-14 team. You suck." And he's like, "Why don't you come down here and say it to my face?" And this group of like eight people all instantly banded together. And they're like, "You know, we can't do that, Baker. It's against the rules. Why don't you come up here?" And I was like, wow, hey. Kind of called your bluff on that. What are you going to do, Baker? You're not doing jack on the field. You might as well go ahead and go up to the stands and see what happens.
This is an interesting thing.
Is Bill O'Brien going to lose his job?
He has all the power.
And exactly.
He has all the power in that organization right now. And I don't know who's going to fire him unless it's the ownership.
Yes.
But I think because he's garnered it all and he's got this young, talented team, I think that the ownership would be too scared to move on from him because he's got all this talent right here. Do you really want to start all over with it, with a new coach? You got to find a coach that's going to say, "Hey, I don't think he's losing it this year because I think it's too late at this point. You just made the playoffs. Why are you going to move on from a coach that went to the second round of the playoffs?" You just like Jason Garrett, right? As long as you're in the playoffs, you keep giving the guy that opportunity.
But I wonder if they keep getting stuck at the same spot, if they're like, and I mean, his, I don't know whether you want to say clock management or ability to motivate his team or whatever it was. I mean, for God's sakes, you got 41 straight points scored against you. I would wonder if that would come into play for and Bill O'Brien is a great analogy, like you said, to Jason Garrett, where I feel like a lot of people are already on the fence. When you have one of the biggest playoff choke jobs in history, I feel like that would be a lot of people push them over the fence and they're like, "I'm out. I'm done. I can't do this anymore."
Yeah. No, that's Kevin. I saw this number. Somebody just texted in. Actually, it's Nick from the 903. Derrick Henry had 12,124 rushing yards in high school.
What?
In 4 years.
He had 3,000 yards a year rushing in high school?
And so I've been trying to compile a list of guys. I think Eric Dickerson's on this list. I think Emmitt Smith's on this list. Tony Dorsett's on the list, too. The greatest, like, running backs in the entire, like, all time. And that goes back to their high school stats. Adrian Peterson's in the mix. But Derrick Henry, quite possibly, just because of what he compiled in high school, might be able to do something amazing, because at the moment he's got 3,833 yards as a pro, 3,591 yards in college.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say this now: the greatest high school running back I ever saw, and it wasn't even close, was Jonathan Gray. All right, if you ever saw Jonathan Gray at Aledo, like when he committed to Texas, that was a dark day for me because people were like, "Oh, he'll never work out." And I was like, "Oh, please. He's going to run for 58,000 yards or whatever." And it didn't really work out for him. But check this out. His sophomore year, when he finally got to start full time, he ran for 2,800 yards and 50 touchdowns with an average of 7.5 yards per carry. Next year, 3,200 yards with 59 touchdowns and 9.2 yards per carry.
Wow.
His senior year, he ran for 3,900 yards on 11.2 yards per carry and had 65 touchdowns. What?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
I will always cast my vote for Jonathan Gray. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Mike Fisher. Who is the greatest running back he ever saw in high school? Is it Red Grange, perhaps? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Got the Fish Report coming up in just a moment, Kevin. But today at 1, we're going to be joined by Radio.com Sports MLB insider John Heyman to see if the Rangers are in on a deal for Arenado. He's brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Hold on, is it already done? Is it a done deal?
No, I'm just saying, I'm excited.
Okay,
because
all right.
Todd Frazier is part one of the Arenado move, and those are your corner infielders. Let's go.
All right, so let's we'll talk to him at 1 o'clock, but right now it is Mike Fisher joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Fish, welcome back to the show. What's up, man?
Good morning, Kansas City Chief Masterpiece.
Yes, we'll take all the credit if they go to the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir.
The biggest information over this weekend is, I think it's got to be the Jimmy Johnson moment, correct?
Yeah, it's fascinating to me how this is NFL playoff weekend and the games were really interesting and the teams are really interesting, but the Cowboys are still headline grabbers in terms of staff building, in terms of who might be switching TV networks.
Yes.
And then the Jimmy Johnson deal, which, you know, all of us, I don't think you have to be a Cowboy historian or have to be an old man like me. I think there's a younger generation that recognizes the greatness of Jimmy Johnson here. But I do think that the inner workings of it all are fascinating to people who maybe they kind of think they know what went on. But, you know, the Jimmy Jerry dynamic continues to be a story. Troy Aikman's involvement in this continues to be a story. And then something that Jerry tried to do from the very start, which was difficult at first, but Roger Staubach made it a lot easier as we went along, is to try to mend fences and bridge gaps from the past to the present. And maybe this is a good opportunity now for Jimmy and Jerry to do that for real one last time.
Is there any real way to do that, though? Because, I mean, this is a long time that these two have not been besties.
Yeah, but it was also a long time when they were friends.
Why didn't you say besties, Fish?
Yeah, because I'm a mature man. I don't know. and then there was, in the building of the Cowboys, and listen, I know when I say this sentence, that there's going to be 50% of the people on the fan text going, oh, come on, quit giving credit. But they were co-architects of one of the greatest turnarounds in sports history, co-architects of the team of the decade. There will probably never be anything quite like that. And given the fact that they found a way to work together happily for the better part of 5 years, not the entirety of it, but the better part of it, and that they were friendly acquaintances or maybe a little more for the 20 years before that, why are we still trying to figure out which one of us gets to put more fingers on those Vince Lombardi's trophies? There's plenty of room for both of them.
The adoration of Troy Aikman for Jimmy Johnson, is that because of what he did for his career, or because he felt that was the reason that they won?
Well, that's a great example. I'm glad you asked this, because this is an inner working story all by itself. If you were sitting there with me in 1990, or 1991, and you would have said 28 years from now, Jimmy Johnson is going to be the one advocating most strongly in the world for Jimmy. I'm sorry, that Troy Aikman would be the one advocating for Jimmy. I would have told you you were nuts, because there was zero sign of that.
Okay.
When they first got together, and Troy put on social media, and I've got this story out there on my stuff on Twitter and Facebook at Fish Sports, but it's basically Troy's open letter to Jimmy, if you really read it, about what Jimmy did for Aikman, what Jimmy did for the Cowboys. And Troy points out, he tried to recruit me out of Henrietta High School, and I said no. And then when I left Oklahoma, he tried to recruit me to Miami, and I said no again. And then finally, the Cowboys drafted me. I can't say no to him now, but they absolutely did not see eye to eye, in part because Jimmy's drafting of Steve Walsh really brought, not because of Steve Walsh's fault, but that brought a toxicity into the building. That you had two young quarterbacks, the same age, the same draft class. Steve Walsh, of course, was was not in the regular draft, and Walsh had been Jimmy's guy at Miami. That didn't work. Obviously, Jimmy being Jimmy, he ended up swapping Steve Walsh out and got a load of nice pieces back. I think the draft pick that ended up being Eric Williams was one of the things that came back from New Orleans. But that was a disaster inside the building, and Aikman had every right to resent Jimmy having done it. And then I think it was the summer of 1992, and they found themselves at a social gathering, Jimmy and Aikman. And if I recall the story right, like Aikman forgot his wallet at the table or something like that. And Jimmy went and chased him down and brought him his wallet. If Aikman's listening right now, text me and tell me whose wallet it was. I can't remember.
It was my wallet, Fish.
Yeah. And it was gigantic, so it probably was yours.
Oh, he's a star.
And so somebody left something at the table. The other guy goes and chases the other one down. And they decided, you know, listen, as long as we chase each other down, let's sit down for a minute and talk. And the next thing you know, Jimmy, in his psychological brilliance, starts talking about fish tanks. And Jimmy, in his house, right down the street from Valley Ranch, walking distance, had a gigantic fish tank in it. And that was his thing, and of course still is, as we all know. Well, Aikman was just at the time starting to get into that. So Jimmy said, I'll come over to your house. I'll set up your fish tank for you. And the next thing you know, they found something to bond about. And the next thing you know, Jimmy let Aikman be Aikman. And the next thing you know, Aikman won 3 Super Bowls.
In your face, Kevin.
Now, for a quarterback that didn't win any Super Bowls but is about to make all of the money, what do you know about the Tony Romo rumblings?
For me, the biggest thing about that job, and this is where ESPN made a mistake with Witten, they're making a mistake with Boog. That job is, you're a TV star. That's not football analyst, that job. Football analyst is, you know, like Babe Lothenberg's a football analyst on media. That's his job. Babe's not paid to be a TV star, although he used to be and certainly could be again. But those are network TV shows. Where how many millions of people watching them? 25 million people?
Yeah.
How many people watch Big Bang Theory?
Not enough.
Okay, well, yeah, right. But, I mean,
like 15, something like that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I don't know. 10 million. So this show is on TV. This show, whether it's Monday Night Football or Aikman on Fox or Romo on CBS, you know, there's 10, 15, 20, 25 million people watching this, and you're on TV for 3 hours. And you need to be more than just a football analyst. You need to be compelling. I always use the example of Jerry Seinfeld. That Jerry Seinfeld was not an actor, but people found him to be appealing, and the show was high quality, and it was funny, and all those things. So Jerry Seinfeld was a network TV star, the same way Big Bang Theory guys are now, or the same way you guys probably liked Friends, so we'll do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what that job is. Tony Romo could do that job. Aikman can do that job. Chris Collinsworth can do that job. That's not a job for Boog or Jason Witten. It really is almost like you could be on Friends. Couldn't Tony Romo be on Friends?
Absolutely, he could.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, I don't just mean make a guest appearance as Tony Romo. I mean, couldn't he be a character on Friends, assuming he can act a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Boog and Wit and Tess cannot be on Friends. They're not that level of performer.
Plus, Friends was never particularly racially diverse, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a good point. So my point is that you're trying to find the next Cosell and the next Madden and the next Alan Alda and the next Mary Tyler Moore and the next Seinfeld and the next Big Bang Theory, and Tony Romo is that. And so whatever you're paying your network stars, that's what he really is. When CBS goes and all the affiliates come and all the sponsors come, those guys sit up on a stage in New York or Los Angeles somewhere, and there they sit, the star of the Big Bang Theory and the star of, whatever, SUV, Law and Order, and Romo. There's the three of them sitting up there. Romo can do that job. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to Monday Night Football. Isn't that contract up after 2021? I think it is.
I don't know.
I bet they re-up it if Romo's there, though.
I assume that they would be doing this all in conjunction, that Romo, who is reputed to now make $3 million, I'm told that ESPN prepared to double his salary, but then I see the reports out there of $10 and $14 million a year. I'm not very good at math, but that's more than doubling it. So away we go, that if ESPN's prepared to steal him away by paying him three or four times as much as he makes now, that surely they feel like they have the NFL in their pocket and Monday Night Football going forward.
Well, don't be upset that Romo's finally going to start making more money than you again, Fish.
I can live with it. And, part of the reason I think most of us are happy for Romo, I think most of us are, all
sure.
of us are, is, man, he's good at it. And it's a really hard job. And a lot of those times, unfortunately, with ex-Cowboys, I don't know how much training Jason Witten got, but not enough. We've told the story before about how with Emmitt Smith, they just said, here's a sports coat and a microphone, go. And it was so unfair to him. Well, I don't know. I mean, I know Tony Romo did as much training as he could. Our friend Brad Sham was involved in that training, by the way. But most of all, Tony Romo is just a natural TV star, the way John Madden was just a natural TV star.
Yep.
He wasn't a football analyst as much as he was a TV star. And Tony Romo is very good, of course, at both.
Reach.
Thank you very much, good sir. We'll talk with you later.
Thanks, boys.
There he goes. Mike
Nothing for you.
At Fish Sports. Now, I don't know. Somebody needs to have an intervention or something for Antonio Brown.
No.
Because I think he's killing it.
Yeah.
This thing is getting out of control. This is... I'm not going to read the headline the way it is on TMZ Sports, but I
can't say it on air. That's why you're not going to read it that
I've
way.
I've seen the pictures. Is Antonio Brown got into a dispute with his baby mama. And I just want to warn you, even the euphemisms for this are kind of, he threw a bag of gummy ding-dongs at her.
Like Twinkies?
No.
Nope. Oh. Nope. The male appendage.
Yeah. Oh. He threw a sealed bag, at least they were sealed, I guess that's something, at her. And that's like, that's just part of it. And this is the weird thing, is Antonio Brown has decided to take the high ground on all of this. You would think when you throw gummy sex things at people
and yell, B, you don't drive Bentleys, this is not your life.
Yeah.
He said she tried to steal one of his cars.
That's problematic for you. No, 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 no. Antonio Brown took to Twitter. Hollywood police and I need a meeting unless I'm going to show their track record of my injustice consistently. Then he went on, canceled my 7-on-7 league for the kids at the Hollywood Pal Park, then returned my check to me on video at the park while telling me if I come back, it's trespassing. So he has decided that he is going to take the high ground on all of this. If any of you out there know Antonio Brown or something, get him some sort of help or out of the public eye, because something bad, like, I mean legitimately bad,
here's a couple
is going to happen.
Comments that he had. while he, you know, we just had Fish on, he was screaming insults at her saying, take that fish-looking bee to jail. So maybe Mike Fisher would be able to get in touch with her or get in touch with AB and try to set his life straight. He also said he knows that it's not the best look for his NFL future, but he says, F the NFL. This is real life.
I mean, great. And then tomorrow he'll tweet out how much he loves the NFL and how he needs to get a shot. And then the next day he'll say that he's not getting a shot because everyone in the NFL is racist. And then the next day he'll be in some other sort of domestic abuse or domestic scandal. I just get somebody, get this guy some help. Yeah. Like, can they not see? This is a human being that is unraveling in front of all of us.
Yeah. How does he just have a bag of those?
Yeah, where do you get that?
Like, I mean, you know, well, those. The fan text will take care of that right for you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, this is unfortunate timing. It's time for Playoff Porridge, where sure, this win was amazing, but what does it mean for the future of Mike Vrabel's junk?
Mm. What?
Wait. We'll have an amazing story for you. It's unbelievable. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget at 1 o'clock we got John Heyman coming on with us, Kevin, to discuss a little bit about what the Rangers are doing. And coming up here at noon, Kevin, I have a story about a time that I met a Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning coach and had an opportunity to have a very in-depth discussion. How do you think it went with me and Jimmy Johnson, Kevin?
Poorly.
All right, but right now it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Is it Corey?
That's what it says on my run sheet.
Well, I think you need to check your run sheet again. This is a special time, Corey. It's playoff porridge time. Thank you very much.
We could do that at 120.
Oh, we will. All things are playoff porridge right now.
Oh, really?
All of them!
Even if they're not in the playoffs?
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Look, we'll mix it all together. It'll be magical. And I start you with, what game do you want to start with? You can pick any game.
The worst game of the weekend, Niners-Vikings.
The 49ers and Vikings game. Richard Sherman recorded his fourth interception of the season, including the playoffs.
You said he was done.
Oh, I was so wrong about that. In the 49ers, win over the Vikings. Since being drafted in the fifth round of the 2011 NFL Draft, Richard Sherman, with 38 interceptions, has 8 more interceptions than any player in the NFL.
Right, like current player?
Correct. That span.
What about the history of the NFL?
Kevin? No.
There's been a lot
of interceptions. Eugene Lockhart had like 13 in a single season, so we got a ways to go. Michael Thomas decided to weigh in on that game. He said, y'all talked all that poop emoji. I don't think anyone got more than one catch in that game. I had 7 with a broken hand. I don't want to hear it. Now, I will argue that these things are all related together. The Vikings were terrible offensively, so right after they lost, the Browns hired offensive coordinator for the Vikings, Kevin Stefanski.
All right.
My favorite thing I saw on social media all weekend is the first 2 comments under that. First comment, did they not see the Vikings 49ers game? Second comment, yeah, bro, that's what clinched the decision for them. I could not stop laughing at the idea that they saw how crappy it went and they're like, that's the guy. We're hiring him.
I'm very interested in what's going on there because right now the Vikings are looking to have continuity at the offensive coordinator position for Kirk Cousins. Kevin, I know that this name's popped up to replace DeFilippo in Jacksonville. Could it pop up to replace the Vikings offensive coordinator? Could Jason Garrett take Kirk Cousins to the mediocrity that he...
Kirk Cousins is like, yeah, you make that hire right now. If it weren't for the playoffs, everyone would still think I'm mediocre. And Garrett's like, oh, hold my sweet tea or whatever. So let's go to, surely we would agree, the biggest upset of the weekend. The Tennessee Titans defeating the Baltimore Ravens. Tennessee Titans were 10-point underdogs, and a representative for Superbook at Westgate in Las Vegas said it was our biggest football win of the season for two different reasons. First of all, people were pounding the Ravens as 10-point favorites, and they were also pounding the over, which was 47.5. 28-12 means not only did the Ravens obviously not cover, they also hit the under. So Las Vegas, they made a killing on this game. But let's get you to the thing that you need to know the most about. This game was amazing for Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans as they move on to the AFC Championship game. But what if I told you winning this game was another step into disaster town?
Oh, no.
For Mike Vrabel.
Nobody needs to go to disaster town.
Well, tell me if you think Mike Vrabel is heading to that because of the greatest audio that you will hear all day. Go.
You got ink?
No.
No ink.
You got anything?
None. Yeah.
Would you ever get a tattoo?
Nope. Way past that.
If we win a Super Bowl and I'm playing for you still, will you get my name tattooed in your body?
Your name? No.
What would you do? Matt Neely said he would cut off his
for a Super Bowl.
For a Uno Super Bowl. And I said, and I have no problem saying no.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh. Been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player, I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you, if
you,
you,
won't, you, won't if you need, came you home, won't need it.
If you came home holding a bag of ice, and Jen was like, "Oh, honey, what'd you do?"
She'd be like, "I thought you already got fixed.
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
I had to cut my d- off, honey. We're gonna win a Super Bowl." She'd be like, "Eh, all right."
Would she
be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, "Do you want me to do it? You want to do it now?"
Don't Mike Vrabel.
Now two victories away from probably not, but potentially, you know how the internet works, people wanting him to
you
cut off his junk.
You think he's
going to
get peer pressured into that?
Yes, I do.
Would you cut your d*** off for a Super Bowl?
Have you ever seen the way the internet works? Of course they're going to peer pressure him into that. That is what I want to be the lead segment on the show tomorrow. Would you?
No.
To be
no.
Hold on.
No.
Hold on. You didn't let me finish the question. To be a player that won the Super Bowl for the Cowboys.
Would I cut that off?
Would I get to keep it for like a while after so I could enjoy?
Yeah, in a bag of ice until Antonio Brown came by to pick it up and throw it at his girlfriend.
What about part of it? Like, can I keep most of it?
No.
What? I'd be all right with getting rid of part of it, but I want to be, like Shippy said, I want to be able to be like, hey, I just won Super Bowl. Let's party now. And I don't want to party without that thing.
Yeah, you can't party without it.
No. Some people might be able to. Not me. I'm sorry. This got out of hand in the middle of the as you're eating your lunch, everybody. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
You didn't have to worry about it getting out of hand anymore.
Oh.
Because it's gone.
Yep.
Guys, back to the...
Do you think you'd have that thing where like you feel like it's still there? Like they talk about...
Yes. Yes, I do.
God, missing limb
syndrome. Yes, phantom limb syndrome. Thank you very much. The Titans are the second team in the Super Bowl era to win a playoff game despite being outgained by at least 200 yards. They got outgained by 230 yards, Corey. The other, the 2009 Saints, who were outgained by 218 yards in the NFC Championship game victory over the Vikings, and they went on to win a Super Bowl. So maybe look out for the Titans to win the Super Bowl. And if you're not sure about that, I take you to unstoppable playoff MVP Ryan Tannehill.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
He might. You could probably cut his arm off and it would make little difference. In the two Titans victories, Ryan Tannehill has combined for a robust 160 yards passing. I want to say that again. In the two playoff victories combined,
this is pretty
he has 160
terrible.
Yards passing. Only one other quarterback in history has won two straight playoff games with less than 100 yards passing. Can you guess who it is?
You
should guess Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg.
It is not Steve DeBerg.
Oh.
But it's close to that era. Terry Bradshaw. He did
that
so.
That was going to be my guess. You told me to go Steve DeBerg.
He did so in the 1974 AFC Championship game and then in Super Bowl IX. So now Terry Bradshaw and Ryan Tannehill, the only two quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who have won back-to-back playoff games while throwing for less than 100 yards. Huzzah for them.
I want them to win the Super Bowl and him not to throw for 100 yards.
That would be awesome.
That would be so much fun for – the NFL would hate it.
Sure.
The NFL is going to be sitting there going, no, we can't have this happen. Force him to throw the ball somehow. But the Fighting Tannehills would get their name, man.
Well, let's go back to the Fighting Tannehills. Yesterday, before the Chiefs were victorious over the Texans, did you know that Ryan Tannehill by himself had more playoff victories than every other starting quarterback in the history of the Big 12 combined?
I did not.
Here's how the chart went before the season started. Pat Mahomes, 1. Everyone else, 0. Now the chart, as of before yesterday, read Ryan Tannehill, 2. Pat Mahomes, 1.
And then Pat Mahomes, 1.
Now, this is really the battle for Big 12 supremacy. Ryan Tannehill has 2 playoff wins, the A&M alum. Pat Mahomes, the Texas Tech alum, has 2 playoff wins. Every other starting quarterback ever from the Big 12 has 0. That's only because Drew Locke got bumped to the Big 10, I'm guessing, and eventually it'll be his time.
100%.
But 0. So nobody can stop Ryan Tannehill. Unfortunately, somebody did get stopped at the Ravens-Titans game. It was a gentleman who collapsed while walking on the steps of the upper deck. Medical personnel arrived quickly, and he died at the game.
Whoa.
Like, in the middle of the game while trying to walk up the steps. He collapsed and died.
That's one of my fears. That's how I'm going to go.
Would that distract you from, like, watching the game? Because I know you're there to see your team, but somebody's
going on? Yeah, what's going on right here? How? And so I'm probably trying to help, too. CPR, whatever it is I can do. So, yeah, absolutely that's going to distract me.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, Jimmy Johnson makes the Hall of Fame. And you might think this is insane. Is he the greatest Cowboys coach of all time?
I already told you this.
You're going to be in the minority, I think.
Nope.
Although we'll see. 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.